We're going abroad now to the key African city of Goma because it could be about to fall to rebel fighters in a conflict which has left bodies lying on its streets and its hospitals overwhelmed. Goma is in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo and it's one of the world's richest sources of minerals. Fighting, which has been ongoing since 2021, flared up in the past 10 days between the M23 rebels, who are backed by Rwanda, according to the United Nations, and the Congolese army. Growing anger over the offensive led protesters to attack foreign embassies in the capital Kinshasa, including the French and Belgian ones. 100 people are reported to have been killed so far, along with at least 14 UN peacekeepers. 1,000 people are reported injured. We're joined now by Jason Stearns, founder of the Congo Research Group at New York University. He's joining us from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Jason, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. Could you tell us maybe what escalated this conflict in the last 10 days?
Well, there was a peace process underway between the Rwandan government and the Congolese government that then came to an impasse in December. And it's following that impasse that you see an abrupt escalation of violence that was accompanied by the crossing of roughly 1,000 to 2,000 Rwandan troops who crossed the border and then pushed together with the M23 troops, their allies, into the lakeside towns and eventually into the town of Goma over the weekend. And so I think it's that collapse of that peace process, along with, I think, the leadership transition in the United States. The U.S. had been the lead critic of the Rwandan government and their backing of the M23. And the fact that you now have basically nobody answering the phones in the State Department when it comes to these issues also created a vacuum that they took advantage of.
Are you saying Rwandan troops are on the ground as well in DRC?
Absolutely. There have now been six different independent United Nations investigations that have documented the presence of roughly 5,000 Rwandan troops in the DRC, special forces who come very well equipped with night vision goggles, with drones. They've documented the presence of armored vehicles, surface-to-air missiles. So these are very well-equipped Rwandan troops.
To what end, Jason? What's Rwanda's end game here then?
Well, this is the latest in a succession of Rwandan-backed rebellions in the DRC that goes back 28 years now. And so for a very long time, the Rwandan government has seen this part of the Congo as within their sphere of interest. And that's for a variety of reasons. There have been in the past security threats for the Rwandan government that have come out of this area. But at times the Rwandan government has also exaggerated those security threats for its own benefit. One of the striking things is the importance, the economic importance of this region to Rwanda. Rwanda last year exported around $1 billion worth of minerals. Much of that, we can assume, comes from the eastern Congo, especially gold. And so for a variety of reasons, the Rwandan government has tried to stake out control in this part of the country.
And Rwanda are the second biggest contributor to UN peacekeeping missions. And in this conflict so far, 14 peacekeepers have been killed. Has there been too little pushback on Rwanda from Western governments, but also from the African Union?
Well, that's a very good point. This is one of the paradoxes of this conflict. The Rwandan government gives around 5,000 peacekeepers a year to the United Nations. It's reimbursed for that and last year it made around $160 million off its contributions to the United Nations. And at the same time, you have the M23 with Rwandan backing, killing peacekeepers in the eastern DRC. And despite that, it was only really this week that the UN Secretary General even mentioned the word Rwanda. They've been very, very reticent, I think, because of Rwanda's importance in peacekeeping, to single out Rwanda, even though their own investigators have consistently cited evidence for Rwandan involvement in the eastern DRC. So that's one paradox. And so, yes, the UN has been, and the Secretary General in particular, has been much too reluctant to single out Rwanda. But the same goes for donors. Rwanda is heavily dependent on foreign aid and on international investments. It has, during this last year, since the reemergence of the M23 in 2021, only gone to see its foreign aid increase, especially from the European Union. And so I think it's now you see condemnations of the support, but it's too late, I think, to a certain extent. Rwanda's felt emboldened by the fact that nobody's pushed back against it.
And just very briefly, there are reports that the rebels have taken the airport in Goma. Now, if that's true, what prospect is there that the Congolese army can mount much of a defense?
Well, it's very confusing on the ground. I think at the moment we can say that, as you point out, they've taken the airport, they've taken most of town, but there's still fighting going on in parts of town. It's going to be very difficult for the Congolese army to mount a defense. I think we can assume that Goma has fallen to the Rwandan government and the M23, and they will be hunkering down and administering this part of the country for some time to come.
Thank you very much indeed for filling us in on what's happening in DRC at the moment. Jason Stearns, founder of the Congo Research Group at New York University.